Okay, because you got to give a bigger amen than that, all right? If you want the prayer, if you want to receive what we prayed, you got to put some faith behind it, all right? So come on, let me hear you say amen one more time. That's right. I come from Pentecostal background, so I like loud people up in the house of God. I like people who can feel the Holy Ghost. I like people who are like, ooh, yeah. I've had to, if it were up to me, I'd have an organ player up here. So I'm challenging boy right now. Boy, where are you at? You got to learn the organ, because there you are, because I might need a little bit of up in here. And we might have to break out into some old school song like, I don't know, nothing came to me right there in the moment. So, but yeah. Yeah, something like that. Hey, you know what? Tonight we're going to kick off a new series. Anybody have a good Halloween? Did you anybody do the trunk or treat? Anybody get bags and gobs and gobs and gobs of candy? Did you get good candy? Who got good candy? Raise your hand. If you don't like the candy you got, raise your hand. Let me see. Oh man, that's kind of a bummer. Well. Anyways, So we finished a series last week. This week we're kicking off a new one called Disconnected. Dang, that's kind of a downer, right? But wait! Because there's a subtitle. Subtitles can make up the difference, and this is the subtitle. Learning to Reconnect with God's Presence. Anybody here thankful that we have the opportunity to connect with God on a personal, on a very relational, intimate way? That's right. And so we want to talk about that. And so let's actually begin with scripture. If you brought your Bibles, go ahead and turn them with me to 1 John. There's four Johns in the Bible. The first one is just kind of like, I don't know, regular John, if you want to say it that way. Then a little bit later on toward the back, you'll find 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And we're going to go to the 1 John, which is technically the 2 John, because, yeah, I'm probably confusing you, but that's all right. 1 John, we're going to look at the first chapter, beginning with verse number three. And I think you're going to see something pretty cool here that we want to talk about. It says, okay, I'll wait because I know some people, I still hear some people turning their Bible. And so I want you to turn there for yourself tonight. 1 John chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible, we have it up on the over screen. It says this. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. It says that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. I really like the end of that. It talks about having fullness of joy. You know, I don't know if you realize this or not today, but God wants you to be happy. God wants you to have joy in your life. God wants a people that are joyful, and not for no good reason, But for the reason, all the reasons that the Bible provides, we have reason to be joyful. And God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to be happy in your life. And you know what? If I could just be honest, that doesn't necessarily mean that everything in your life is going to go perfect. Everything in your life is going to go exactly the way that you want it to go. It's all going to turn out, you know, peachy keen, I guess you could say, and hunky dory, and you're just going to, you know, go through life and everything's just going to be wonderful. I mean, the truth of the matter is that life happens, right? Anybody out there have life happen to you and you're just like, what in the world is all of this going on in my life? Right? We're going to have troubles. Hey, there's going to be times when you're going to get hurt. You're going to face and experience some pain. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching real good. I'm just kidding. But you know what? Whether you're going through good times or whether you're going through bad times, I believe that you can have the joy of the Lord deep down on the inside of you. And my Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if you know anything about, you know, what Jesus did on the cross, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus endured the cross. I don't know about you, but, you know, when I think ahead in my life and I think about, you know, what I want to be and what I want to do and how I want things to turn out, I don't think about dying on a cross. How about you? Does that sound like fun to anybody? But that was Jesus's mission. And the Bible says that Jesus, he endured the cross for one reason, because of the joy that was set before him. And I believe that as gruesome and as bloody and as difficult and as ugly as that cross was, as Jesus carried that cross up the hill, I believe that he had a joy deep down on the inside that said, you know what? My God is still in control. You know what? This is going to turn out for the good. You know what? I'm going to save some souls out of this. You know what? I can see their faces today, and they're going to be won over to the kingdom of God by this act. I've got joy on the inside, even though everything else on the outside is going crazy. And you know what's so cool is the Bible says here one of the ways that you can obtain this joy, or in other words, you know, if you want joy to really begin to overtake your life so that you have this strength that can endure anything, the Bible says here in 1 John that you're going to have to come to this place where you begin to experience and take advantage of the fellowship of God. Fellowship with God and with his family. I want you to look at your neighbor today. I want you to say, I love you. Awkward, Pastor Joe. Awkward. The Bible says that we can obtain joy on the inside that gives us the strength to go through anything. Because how many know God wants you to go through the stuff that you face and come out on the other side victorious? God didn't call anybody here to fail. Come on, somebody. But the way that we go through and the way we come out victorious is with this joy on the inside. And this joy takes place on the inside when we come to a place where we are enjoying fellowship with God and enjoying fellowship with one another. So that's really what I want to talk to you about tonight. Fellowship. Fellowship. What comes to mind when you think of fellowship? Well, can I just read you the dictionary? The dictionary, what fellowship is? Another word for fellowship is the word association. Association, right? Don't try to abbreviate that. Anyways, okay, so anybody here ever heard the term, you got it, didn't you? Anybody ever heard of the term guilty by association? Maybe you're here today and maybe you hung out with a certain crew, a certain group of people and you know, you're known to roll with them. And so anyways, you know, at the end of the school day comes along, you go home and you come back to school the next day and you found out that they just run amok. They just tore up the school and everything's on fire, and maybe not on fire, but you know, they just did something bad. And the next thing you know is you get called into the principal's office. You had no idea what they did, no idea they were going to do what they were going to do, but you've become guilty by association, because you hung out. Well, my friends, if I could say it to you this way, I believe that God wants the world to find you guilty by association. In other words, they recognize that you have been hanging out with God, or you've been hanging out with something or someone that they don't know, that they've never experienced. But for some reason, you got this joy on the inside of you. For some reason, you're always nice. For some reason, you're always kind. You're always loving. You're always generous. And so they know this. There's something different about this person, and I want to know what that is. And so they come up and ask you, why are you always so happy? And then that's your moment to be like, his name is Jesus, and I'm guilty by association. Okay. Fellowship, association. How about community? God wants you to enjoy community with him. Communion. How about that one? How about this one? Joint participation. How about this one? Fellowship, it means to share that which one has in anything. I like that. I like the idea that God wants to share everything that he has with you and with me. Right? I like the idea of exchanging my rags for his robes, my poverty for his riches, my nonsense for his wisdom, my sin for his righteousness. Come on, somebody. That happens in fellowship with God. I once read this single person's Facebook page, and they had this quote on there. They put on there, single and ready to mingle. That's right, single and ready to mingle. What were they expressing? Were they not expressing their desire for interaction, for conversation, for relationship? Right? Right? I know it's kind of, you know, but you understand. You see, this is what God has called us to. And that's point number one today. God has called us to fellowship with him. See, more than just being saved, God didn't call you just to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I thank you, I'm going to heaven. And that's it. God called you to walk with him, talk with him, see him, and him see you. You know him as well as he knows you. Come on, I don't know if you understand how wonderful this is, because see, you can't get a private moment with the President of the United States, but you can't get a private moment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords anytime you want. You may never be able to shake LeBron James's hand, but you can walk with Jesus hand in hand. Come on, somebody. You may never get a private moment with Katy Perry, but you can meet up with Jesus, creator of the universe. And Psalms 89 says there's nobody like him. Not even close. There's nothing like him. Who can be compared to you in the heavens, oh God? Who in the heavens can be compared to you? What or who can be likened unto you? There's absolutely nothing. There's absolutely no one that could even come close. And we find here in 1 John that God has called us not just to be saved, but to walk with him in this wonderful thing called fellowship. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16. I'm just going to put part of that verse up. But it says this. This has really been God's desire from the very beginning. It says this, from the very beginning of time all the way through until now and beyond. It says, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I don't know about you, but that touches my heart. Do you know what it is? I like blowing people's brains up by telling them crazy stories that have gone down in history, crazy stories that I've heard. And I like intriguing people, bringing them closer to God. And it's unfortunate, I just thought of it right now and I didn't look it up beforehand, but great man of God, actually Brad may know the individual's name, but this guy, sometime within the last 100 years, I believe, got real close to God. And he saw these things in the Bible. Hey, I can walk with God. I can talk with God. I can, like the Bible says, he wants to dwell with me and walk among me. And this guy carried such a strong presence of God. The story is that he would come into town to minister. And as soon as the plane would land, all the people at the airport would just fall over and start repenting and give their lives to Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I just said? One time, I believe he pulled up to a gas station. Am I right, Brad? Am I right? You know, yeah. One time he pulled up to a gas station and literally to get gas in the car, and everybody started pouring out their alcohol like, oh, Jesus. Because he walked with God. And this can be a reality in our world today. Look, you can roll up onto Colton High and walk into your classroom, and everybody in the room, including your teacher, be like, all right, God, I just bow right my knee right now, and I just give you my heart, my life. I repent because I'm a sinner, and I realize that God is up in the building. Not because you're so cool or you're so great, but because, my goodness, Jesus has paid such a high price for you and I to get in contact and in fellowship with God. Let me move on from this point, but first let me say this, that I remember this one time I pulled out of my apartment when I was in an apartment in Moreno Valley, and I don't know if you know about the M on the side of on the mountain, but it was like all filled with clouds, and it was just really beautiful that Sunday morning. And I remember there's this kind of like the clouds had come together, and they made this like little hole. You could kind of see up into the top of the mountain, and I just thought to myself within my heart, I just thought, you know what, it just would have been so cool to be with Moses and to climb up the mountain and to go meet up with God like he did. And the moment I finished that thought, God spoke to my heart and said, you can come if you want to. And it shocked me. I'm sitting there like, whoa! And I wanted to park my car and get out my car and close the door and just leave it there and just start hiking the Moreno Valley Mountain, because I realized that I have this open door to know this God of the universe. And all the while, maybe maybe I knew it theoretically, but somewhere in the back of my mind, I had come to the conclusion that I was waiting for God to have this moment with me, when in reality, God was waiting on me to have a moment with him. See, that's what I'm trying to say to you, is that God has called you to fellowship with him. He's done everything that he can to get you into proximity, to get you close to him. I remember this old Fred Hammond song. I just loved it so much. And it just simply went, just to be close to you, just to be close to you, just to be close to you is my desire. And then the drums would start building. And he's like, just to be close. God wants you to be close. God wants to know you personally. God wants you to know him. And I'll tell you what, he's like nothing you have ever experienced before. And today you may say, you know what, Pastor Joe, but I'm a Christian. I've come to church for a long time and I've experienced the presence of God. Yeah, maybe just a little. Even in your best moment, I'll be honest with you. Because we find stories in the Bible where God reveals all of his glory and he literally blows people away. Not in a bad way, in a good way. Anyways, number two today. If you want to reconnect with God's presence, you're going to have to keep in mind that God is a supernatural God. God is not a man or a woman. God is not human. The Bible says that he is a spirit. In fact, Jesus says, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I think so many times we approach God in a very carnal way, in a very humanistic way. We come to church and we're so concerned with our problems. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't really have any problems right now, thank God. Yes, thank God, amen. But maybe you come to church and, you know, you're so consumed with meeting up with friends and having a good time and acting a fool in the back of the rows back there, pulling people's hair. And it's no wonder that we are disconnected from God's presence. I wonder how many of us come to church, and I have to admit, I've been guilty of this, come to church with a judgmental and a critical spirit. We don't like a particular person. I don't like this worship song. Go ahead, sing your best. It ain't gonna move me. I don't like this particular singer. I don't like this particular preacher. I like Pastor Richard's preaching better than Pastor Joe's. I'm not gonna take notes today. He thought, it's true. I got love for you, brother, anyways. I don't like this particular message. I don't like this particular subject. I don't like the videos today. Oh my gosh, did they just say unicorn on the cob? Like, that's so stupid. I'm sorry. Turkey Titans is so stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. No, all right, no. But you get the point. I don't like the light setup. There's too much smoke in here. There's not enough smoke in here. And our approach is so human. When God is simply, listen, as long as you're coming to church with a judgmental and a critical spirit, you will never bring your heart before God. And that's what God is after. When you come to church and you say, I don't care what kind of song it is. I don't care who the preacher is. I don't care about the singer. I don't care about none of that. It's all nice. But I come to bring my heart before God. All of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in the presence of God and your life is going to be changed. He's always been after the heart. God has never been interested in you being intrigued by fancy lights and cool music. He may use fancy lights and cool music to bring you in, but he's really after the heart. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33-34 says this, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. This is all about your heart. This is all about your mind. This is all about your life and God writing his ways within you so you can live them out when you leave the church building. Far be it from Christendom that we come and we do and we play religious games. But let us have a real and true encounter by bringing our hearts and having our hearts and our minds and our lives changed. I love so much what it says. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, this is how to know the Lord. This is what he's like. But he says here, he says, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for themselves, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. God wants you to have this personal, intimate relationship, this fellowship, which brings you to this fullness of joy, which causes you to be able to endure anything. And finally, number three today is, you know what? Connecting with God is really easier than we think. James chapter 4, verse number 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What are we saying today? That God's called you to fellowship. God's called you to this close, intimate relationship. Not this distant one. Not this one where you're always talking to him and he's never talking to you like the devil would like you to think. He's some remote, removed, distant God who wants nothing to do with your life. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He'll be as close to you as you want to be to him. He'll never force himself on you. As much as you want to give to him, he'll give to you. And that's why we read when the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and then he wasn't anymore. He disappeared. He went to heaven. He didn't die. He just walked so much with God. It's like, God was like, enough, I've had it. You're out of here. Because he walked with God. And you can have the same thing. By the way, that was in the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. Anyways. So connecting with God is easy. It happens when you simply draw near to God with your heart. You bring your heart. You draw near with your heart to God's word. You bring your heart to the Bible. See, you can be carnal and see the Bible as just some other book, or you can see it as what it is, the bread of life. The truth. The thing that holds the power to change your life. And when you come in faith and you bring your heart and you come to the word of God, all of a sudden you'll find yourself connected with God. Connected to God in prayer. If you bring your heart to God in prayer, he will meet you there. How about bringing your heart to God in worship? If you bring your heart to God in worship, you'll find yourself connected to him. And the last thing I would say when it comes to connecting with God is, you know what? If you were once at a time in your life where you were really connected with God, but today you feel like, I'm just not where I was, then maybe today you just need to simply say a prayer and say, you know what, God, I've messed up. I've kind of fallen back. I've fallen away, but I want to get back. Forgive me. And when you ask God to forgive you, and you'll choose today to start being obedient. Maybe today you say, Pastor, I don't hear God speak to me anymore. Well, what was the last thing he told you to do? If you'll go ahead and go back to the last thing he told you to do, you might find him start to speak to you some more. In Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Watch this. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So draw near to God. Bring your heart. If you've got sin in your life, ask God to forgive you. He'll forgive you. God is the most forgiving person you will ever meet, ever. Period. If you'll just ask. So today, what do we say before we break off into groups for like 2 minutes? God has called you to fellowship, closeness with him. You got to keep in mind God's a supernatural God, and we can't approach God just any old way. He is spirit, and we got to bring our spirit or our hearts to God. You follow me today? And finally today, connecting with God is really not that hard. It's really kind of simple. If you'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. You know what? I just want, if I can get the band up here. No, I take that back. Psych. I want everybody to bow their heads. I want everybody to close their eyes. And I just want you in this moment to picture Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. As Pilate tells Jesus what the people are accusing him of, I want you to see Jesus for a moment, to be taken away by the Roman soldiers and whipped. I want you to see for a moment Pilate turning Jesus over to the Roman soldiers to put the cross on his shoulder. I want you to see him walking up Calvary's hill to give his life for you. And I want you in this moment to realize that he did it with you in mind, because he loved you. Because that was the price that had to be paid to get to you. Then they nailed him hands and feet to the cross. They lifted him up, still shouting curses at him. They told him, you know, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you bring yourself down off of that cross and prove it? Jesus responds with, God, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't realize what they're saying. They don't know that what I'm doing is actually even for them. Now, for just a moment, if you'll hear Jesus say these words, God, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. See Jesus breathe his last. Just for a moment, just imagine the Roman soldier walking up just to make sure Jesus is dead and piercing his side. And the Bible says that blood and water flowed. Not too long later, they took him down off the cross. They buried him in a tomb. And then 3 days later, he rose again. You can look up at me. Now, why did I do that little exercise? Because I really believe if you just take time to think about what Jesus did, you'll find yourself in the presence of God. And I think that if you're here today and you sincerely took the time to think about what we were saying, that you sense God begin to draw near to you. Even here, just sitting in your seat, because it's that easy. Maybe you say, Pastor, that's a little bit weird. I don't necessarily want to think about that all the time. Well, how about just drawing near to God by singing a simple song, saying a simple prayer? It's that easy. Hey, tonight, let me do this before we do anything else. I just want to make sure that everybody here is right with Jesus. You know what? At some point in time, you're going to die. I mean, that's just the way it works, right? The Bible says it's appointed for every man wants to die and then to face judgment. Nobody here is going to live forever, all right? You're not going to get bit by a vampire and end up living forever and wanting to bite other people and then really wanting to die after like 500 years because you're so sick of life. Like, that's just not a reality. Nobody's going to turn into a zombie, all right? These are made up things. The reality is that if Jesus tarries, if he waits to come back long enough, you and I are all going to die and breathe our last. And you know, the Bible says that when you die, okay, life doesn't cease to exist. You will leave your body. It's no different than taking off your jacket, taking off your shoes. Those shoes aren't the real you. They're just your shoes. Neither is your body the real you. It's just the suit that you live in here on earth. But when your body can't live anymore, you will separate from your body, just like taking off a jacket, and you will go to one of two places, either heaven or a place called hell. And listen, God doesn't want anybody in hell. That's why Jesus died on the cross. If he wanted people to go to hell, never had to send Jesus. Jesus never had to go through all the pain, all the suffering. But he did, because he doesn't want anybody in hell. So I don't want you to think for a moment that God wants to send anybody in hell. The Bible is very clear. God is unwilling that any man should perish. But the reality is that as long as people choose to live their life and not ask God to forgive them through what Jesus paid on the cross, then you know what? Your sin still lays claim to your life. Your sin owns you, and the devil owns you because of your sin. Today, where are you at with God? Have you asked God to forgive you of your sin? Have you acknowledged today? Have you acknowledged today that, you know what? You're not a perfect person and you need the blood of Jesus to wash you of your sin? You need to come home to God and make him your God, make him your father and come into his family. Have you done it? Because if you haven't, look it, I want to tell you the truth. You are on your way to a terrible place. There's not going to be any parties in hell, y'all. I don't care what your friends have told you. You should consider for a moment what the Bible says about the place called hell. And I'm not going to go through it tonight, but it's no joke. It's far worse than anything you could ever experience here on earth. And there's been a lot of people who have experienced some pretty terrible things. Nothing like hell, not even close. You don't want to go there. God doesn't want you to go there. So come on, today is the day to quit messing around, taking chances with your life. Give all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ. Say, God, forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. I want to be in your family. I want to know you. I want to be headed for heaven, denying hell. And in that moment, as you say that prayer, the Bible says you're saved. Your sins are washed away. You're forgiven. You move out of darkness, the Bible says, into light. Out of sin, into righteousness. Out of the snare of the enemy, into the arms of the Father. It's your call tonight. It's your choice. You can do whatever you want. But at the very least, let me give you the opportunity to get right with God. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to hit my hands on this pulpit just like that. When I do, if you need to give Jesus all of your heart, you want to give Jesus all of your life today, you want to be forgiven, part of God's family, let the past be the past and move forward with him, then I want you to simply slip your hand up in the air. I'll see it, and you can put it right back down. What you're saying by the raising of your hand tonight is, Pastor Joe, that's me. I need to give Jesus all my heart, all my life. I want to do that tonight. I want to be saved. Hey, let's be clear tonight. You can't be good enough to make it to heaven. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Just because you're in church today does not mean you're going to heaven. You know what? Just because your mom and your dad and your grandma and your grandpa and your aunt and your uncle, they're all saved, so that must mean that you're saved, you have a relationship with God. It doesn't work like that. It's a personal decision everybody has to make. Today's your day. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. The Bible says God knows those who are his. And the only way you can become his is by giving your life to him, not by doing religious things. All right, so come on. If you need to give God all your heart, all of your life, you slip your hand up in the air, I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Are you ready? Are you ready today? One. Come on, let's go for God. Let's leave hell behind. Let's move forward. Who cares what anybody thinks ever? Two. Three. Who here? Pastor Joe, that's me. Thank you, God bless you. Thank you, God bless you. Three, four. Thank you, God bless you. Wise people. Five. Thank you, God bless you. Five wise people. Anybody else here today? Pastor Joe, that's me. I want to give Jesus all my heart. I want to give Jesus all my life. If you're sitting in your seat wondering if you should, you should. That's God dealing with your heart. And you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get before it's too late. What are you going to do if God forbid, you leave church today and on your way home, you get an accident and your life is over? What are you going to say to God? He's going to say, I gave you an opportunity literally 10 minutes ago. You know, there's another story of a man. He gave an altar call. He said a young man walked forward, gave his heart and life to Jesus, prayed the prayer, turned around, walked five steps, and dropped dead. His heart stopped. Talk about cutting it close. So come on, if there's anybody else today, you're not promised tomorrow. If there's anybody else here today, you need to give God all of your heart, all of your life. Come on, slip your hand up in the air, I'll see you. You can put it right back down. Anybody else? Look over you guys one more time. There's about four or five wise people here today. Four or five wise people. Anybody else? All right, well, praise God for the four or five wise people up in here. All right. Let me have everybody stand to their feet tonight. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. And the five of you who raised your hands, I want you to grab the things you brought with you. I want you to get out of your seat and come right down here in front. And I just want you to stand up here and face me. Let me shake your hands and congratulate you on the best decision of your entire life. Congratulations, young lady. Stay right here with me. Congratulations, young lady. I'm so glad that you guys are responding to God tonight. Congratulations. Congratulations. I think there was one more somewhere. I don't know where they went. All right. Let me have everybody bow their heads. Everybody close their eyes. I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. This is how you get saved. This is how you give Jesus all of your heart and all of your life. It's from your heart, like we said today, with a simple prayer from your mouth. God hears it. The Bible says that you are saved in that moment. So, everybody, repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father. Come on, everybody, especially you here in the front. Everybody all together, come on, say, Heavenly Father, I come before you today, and I thank you for your great love for me, that you would send Jesus to die on the cross to forgive me of my sins and to bring me back to you. Today, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. I ask that you come into my heart, that you come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Make me new. I thank you now. I'm headed for heaven. Denying hell. I've got a future and I've got a hope because I'm yours and you're mine. Fill me with your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, it's a done deal. Welcome to the family of God, you guys. Headed for heaven. Hey, check it out. Right over here to your left, my right, are some people. All right, they're going to take you right back over there, just give you some free stuff. It'll just take a couple moments. We already prayed, all right? And then they'll dismiss you. Come on, somebody give it up for the four wise people here tonight. All right. Can I give you a little challenge as you leave? Is that all right? Okay. I want you to ask this question to your friend, to at least one friend, okay? And then I want your friend to ask you the same question back, and you both have to answer. Is that cool? All right? Okay, here's the question you're going to ask your friend and that your friend's going to ask you. It is, what do you think you can do to experience more of God's presence? Did everybody hear that? All right, let's say it all together, okay? Ready? One, two, three. What do you think you can do to experience more of God's presence? One more time.